Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am again bubbling over with excitement because tonight we will continue our lesson or our study in the book of Luke. And you know that the study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in his book. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I always do, I highly suggest, my precious brothers and sisters, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to do as I always do. Personally, thank you for those who take the time to give me advice on the show. Your comments and advice I am receiving and responding to. Thank you very much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus Christ said, blessed are they that do his commandments, for they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. This is taken from Revelations chapter 22, verse 14. And of course, the promise, if you do his commandments, you will have right to the tree of life and will enter into the pearly gates. Jesus said, but thou, when thou pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And of course, the promise is that when you go into your closet, if you pray there, that God will receive what you are asking and will reward you openly. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. So the promise again, if you're going to follow Jesus and receive the rewards from following him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Amen. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way, my precious brothers and sisters, that you're going to break this code is through study and learning. Okay, now to the study. Let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 46 through 48. We're going to be reading from the Bible, the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 46 through 48. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the reading of the text. This is the instruction that I want you to focus on as we read the text. Who is great among us for Jesus? Who is great among us for Jesus? That's what I want you to focus on as we read Luke chapter 9, verse 46 through 48. And this is what the Bible says. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which one of them should be greatest. This is the apostles. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. So you can see that who is going to be great among Jesus? Those who are innocent. Now let's go to our Old Testament, and we're going to look at the complement and see what the book of Numbers says about this, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Numbers, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. Turn your Bible sources with me, please, to Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 and 31. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 and 31. And this is what the connection says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So who is great among us for Jesus? Now, in the Old Testament, you can see God was the one that they were supposed to follow. And Caleb and Joshua did as God commanded. So that is the connection, that in the Old Testament, it was God. They were looking for the Messiah. In the New Testament, those who will be great among us are following Jesus. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must serve our God by laboring in love in his vineyard, planting and watering until the harvest. That is the commission that we receive from Jesus. So who is great among us for Jesus? Those who are in the garden, are not in the garden, they are in the vineyard, laboring with love, planting and watering. That means, my precious brothers and sisters, that they are preaching and teaching, that they are witnessing and testifying, that they are admonishing and sharing the word of God. They are edifying the church and seeking those that they may share this with. So that's the instruction I want you to understand about being great for Jesus. That is what you must do. Now let's go to the next instruction, number 30. And you know there are 84 instructions in this study in the book of Luke. Number 30 is going to be taken from Luke chapter 10. We're going to go back to the book of Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading verse 19 through 24. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 through 24. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text we're reading. Seek this power. That's the instruction I want you to focus on as we read the text. Seek this power. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19 through 24. And this is what it says. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and none shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subjected unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Our Jesus rejoiced in his spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast bid these things, or thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, that it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things that which you see and have not been able to see them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not been able to hear them. That is the power that you want to seek, is that of God. And we'll continue after the break.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You got to have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny when you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher,
Hallelujah, Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction that we're on says seek this power. And we know that Jesus himself, even though we read Luke chapter 10, verse 19 through 24, and it identified some powers that the apostles had at that particular time that Jesus bestowed upon them to do his work. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the power that we need to focus on seeking for ourselves today, right now. And we want to go to the Old Testament complement. We want to see how the Old Testament points to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5 is what we're going to read and connect this dot. Go to your Bible source, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. And this is what it says, my precious brothers and sisters. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That saying is pointing to obeying his commandments. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So the power that we're talking about is in the love that we have for God. And we're talking about agape love. We're talking about godly love or spiritual love. That's the apex of God. That's the apex of his power, is his love. And now this is what I want you to get from this instruction spiritually in your life, that we should seek the power that wakes us up every day. It is the spirit that activates the flesh. We must go inside of ourselves to find out what really matters. And that is going to lead us to the love that we have for God. And we know that that love is secured through the Holy Ghost. That is the instruction that I want you to get from this, or that is the meaning I want you to get from this instruction. Seek this power. Now let us go to instruction number 31. Go back to Luke. We're turning our Bibles back to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 28. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 28. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text we read. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters, what we must do to inherit eternal life. Are you listening out there, my brothers and sisters? What we must do to inherit eternal life. And this is what Luke chapter 25 through 28 says. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering him said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So if we want eternal life, love is the key. Now let us go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to our complement. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 1 through 17. Now, the reason I'm doing this extensively is because love is critical. And in the Old Testament, God showed his love through his commandments. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, or if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we know that in 1 John, that book or the epistle that was written, it tells us that keeping God's commandments, if you love God, you will keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So this is how he gave it to the Israelites back in their dispensation. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, And I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Now, this is God speaking audibly to Israel. Remember, he had them come to the mountain of Zion, and he had them prepared. And he came down on the mountain, and this is what he actually gave them. This is why the Ten Commandments are so significant, and it all wraps up in love. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's love. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any in the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and unto the fourth and third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me," key, "and keep my commandments." Again, I was just telling you what it said in 1 John chapter 4. It said, if you love God, you will keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, we can see how extensive this was given to the Israelites, to the point of, you might say, perfection. And we know that they could not keep it, and we know that we cannot keep it. That's why the Messiah had to come to give us some relief through mercy, grace, and repentance. Now what I want to do is give you an understanding of what this should mean spiritually in our lives. This is what it should mean, that love culminates all of the commandments of God. And he who keeps them shall have eternal life, because God is love. That is the bottom line, and we'll continue after the break.
I can is a phrase that we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. In our modern world, Albert Einstein, the mathematician, physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities, yet they led, created, and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
My precious brothers and sisters, let us look at instruction number 32. Turn your Bibles, your sources back to Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. That is the text that we're going to be gleaning this instruction from. Now, this is the instruction. Jesus teaches us to pray. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Jesus teaches us to pray. This is as critical as every other word in the Bible is critical. I conclude, or I submit to you, that everything, every word that is taken from the Bible is what Jesus said is bread of life. And that will give us what we need to succeed this side of eternity. So Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, this is how Jesus teaches us to pray. This is what it says. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, listen, my brothers and sisters, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you, and that is the prayer that we are not as familiar with as the one that's written or identified in the book of Matthew. When we get there, we'll read that in its entirety, that this is considered the Lord's Prayer. And so that is the one that we should respond to. Why? Because Jesus taught us to pray this way. So that would be the best way to get to the Father, the way that Jesus is pointing. Remember, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the life, and so many other things that he is. This is the way he taught us to pray. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to our complement and see how we can connect a dot concerning praying. We're going to go to the Proverbs written by Solomon. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. And this is what Solomon says about that. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Okay, again, the prayer of the righteous should pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And those that are not praying accordingly, meaning those who are disobedient, those are the ones that will not be heard. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that prayer is communication with God. Without communication with God, or anyone else, for that matter, will render you life mute. That's telling us that even if you are not praying, if you do not communicate, you will give up the life as you know it. And we know that communication could be even crying, all right? Because that's what babies do to communicate. And without that communication, they would become null and void. So that is the instruction that I want you to take from this, is that communication is key. So how you communicate, with song, with worship, with actual conversation, with actions, all of this can be culminated in that communication, and that's what's critical. Now let us go to, by the way, if you have any comments, you know that you can go to the chat room, get them to the host, or you can communicate with me through email or text. Let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. We're going to read Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the reading. I want you to take note. Ask, seek, and knock, at least for the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Ask, seek, and knock, at least for the Holy Spirit. Because we know that the promise of the Father is what Jesus told his apostles to wait on before they went into their ministry. And that promise of the Father was the power that they received at Pentecost in the form of the tongues of fire over their head, and that was the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13 says. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now that is those who are important, and the Holy Spirit residing in you gives you that importance. So what you will need, you are familiar with Paul giving us the gifts of the Holy Ghost and the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That is the entirety of what we need this side of eternity, meaning the wisdom, the knowledge, the faith, the love, the peace, the joy. That can give us all that we need physically and spiritually. That is the significance of asking and the Holy Spirit responding. Now what we want to do is go to the book of Deuteronomy, because that's going to be the complement we're going to read. In fact, I didn't complete the reading of this, and I'm going to go to verse 13 to complete the reading of Luke 5 through 13. Verse 13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That is key. Ask, seek, and knock, at least for the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to see what the Old Testament complement tells us about this, connecting the dot. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And this is what it says simply. Moses is telling Israel, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Remember, Jesus told us to seek and ye shall find. That is what I consider a law of grace, that you should knock and it shall be opened unto you. Again, the law of grace. And ye shall ask, and ye shall receive. But remember, you must ask correctly. That is the key. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we seek godliness, we shall find him. But know of a surety, by finding God, we will have to give up much of the world. That is our problem today, my precious brothers and sisters. We want some of the world. And we want all of God. That doesn't coagulate. It does not compute. You can't get all of God and have some of the world. All means no parts of the world. So within your faith, you have to realize that if you want more of God, you have to seek him more. You have to ask him more. You have to knock more. And if you think that 50% is good enough, well, we already know in the book of Revelations, it tells us the Spirit speaking to the church at Laodicea that I will spew you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm. So we know even in our secondary schools, if we don't get at least 60%, and that's still failing, we are out of our grade average to succeed. So I'm telling you that the more, the better. And that's the instruction that I want you to understand and receive from this, or the lesson I want you to understand and receive from this instruction. Okay? Now we're going to go to instruction number 34. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 17 through 26. Luke chapter 11. After the break, we'll continue.
Yeah. There was a place in biblical times called Gadara. There was a man there who was possessed with a legion of devils. Depending upon which authority you read after, that can be from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So we'll be conservative. We'll take 3,000. This man has got 3,000 devils inside of him. And he is naked. He has cut himself with stones. He walks and lives and sleeps among the dead. And anybody who serves the devil lives among the dead. He cuts himself. But Jesus steps on board the little ship, and he sets his sail toward Gadara. And when he lands in Gadara, the maniac comes running. And here's the thing that is incredible to me. He's got 6,000 devils. But the man, in spite of the habitation or inhabitation of 6,000 devils, his human spirit wanted to worship. And the Bible says the man came and worshiped. 3,000 to 6,000 devils could not stop him from worshiping. The devil cannot stop you from worshiping if you want to worship. He came and he worshiped. He came and he worshiped. And the Bible says in the end of that story that the maniac was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. And before we go into the instruction number 34, I want to just give you a tidbit. This is season 5, episode 5, and this is the title of this lesson that we are under instruction tonight. Who among us is willing to apply these principles? Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Who among us is willing to apply these principles? That's the title of this episode. And the short pitch is describing good practices. This is what I'm sharing with you, good practices tonight. Of course, all of them are, but more especially focused on these 7 we're talking about tonight. And this is the detailed description of the episode. Some of the ABCs of our faith. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 17 or chapter 11, verse 17 through 26. Luke chapter 11, verse 17 through 26. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the reading of the text. I want you to pay attention to this instruction. This is the instruction. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And this is what Luke chapter 11, verse 17 through 26 says about that. Keep in mind, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And this is what Luke says. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom against itself is brought to dissolution. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I be by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges, Jesus is telling the Pharisees. But I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man, he gives more information. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man than he come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. What Jesus is telling them, look, if you're playing around and you lose your power, you can be overcome. Verse 23 says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the latter state of that man is worse than the first. My brothers and sisters, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if you half step, if you are double-minded, if you relent and go back, you can expect it to worsen. Don't we know that even in addictions, if you return to what you were addicted to, it's going to have a stronger hold on to you. It's going to be more powerful. Now let's go and see what the Old Testament complement has to say about this. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 through 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 through 11. And this is going to give the saga of Solomon, how he did exactly what Jesus was talking about, and the kingdom of Israel was divided. Remember, under Solomon, he was the last king of all 12 tribes. After Solomon, the tribes split into the northern tribes and into the southern tribes. 10 went to the north and 2 stayed in the south. And it was because of this, Solomon, when he divided the kingdom, this is what happened. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 through 11 says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, meaning he had divided his kingdom and was the heart of David, the father. In his father, David stayed with God. Verse 5 said, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Malcolm, the abomination of the Amorites, or the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord. Remember, a house divided against itself, as did David, his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hills that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord God was angry with Solomon because he divided the kingdom, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. He should not divide his kingdom or his attention to other gods, but keep not that which was what the Lord commanded, which he just commanded him not to do that. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandments and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and will give it to you thy servant. So that is the power and the result of not keeping your kingdom undivided. And this is what it should mean spiritually in our lives. Because we use the knowledge of good and evil more than the knowledge of eternal life, we die physically. And if we do not receive Jesus Christ, we will die both physically and spiritually. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, that we have the knowledge of good and evil, but we don't have the knowledge of everlasting life unless we come to Jesus. The knowledge of good and evil and the knowledge of everlasting life, the kingdom was split when Adam sinned in the garden. And that is what's critical here, that we need to make sure that we advance and attain and procure the knowledge of everlasting life. Without the Holy Ghost, we cannot do that. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot do that. God alone is lacking the completion of the Godhead. And that is the instruction that I'm trying to give you with this, or the spiritual way that we should respond to this instruction. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Okay, let's go to instruction number 35. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 29 through 32. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 through 32. And we're going to focus on this instruction as we read the text. The sign of Jonah is given by Jesus. All right? The sign of Jonah is given by Jesus. This is what the text says. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 and 32. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment against the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Jesus is telling us that he is the sign today. "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lit a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Now, this is telling us that after the break, we'll continue.
I've never seen anything like this generation today. They don't commit to anything at all. You're lucky if you see them again after they go. And if you do see them, it's only going to be on Sundays. And don't talk too long because they got to go. Forget Sunday night. Wednesday night's out of the question. We'll hear about the revival next Sunday. We sacrifice nothing for our church. We will serve nowhere. And yet, is Bishop preaching? Yeah, is Bishop preaching? I have never met anybody who became incredibly successful in any area of their life until they had suffered and sweated and sacrificed and kept their focus and fought through tears and trials and tests. And if you have a dream and you commit to it, it will come to pass. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. They laughed at me. They said, "That boy's lost his mind. He'll never be nothing. He stutters. He's got a lisp when he speaks. He'll never be a preacher." I don't care what you say. If you are committed to what you believe.
When your heart is given to God, "With my whole heart, Lord, will I follow thee." It's not my hands, my feet, my heart, my spirit, my innermost being is committed to God. I will not face a giant without you. I will not make a major decision without prayer. I will not bring somebody into my life just because they please me. I'll submit myself, my destiny, my future over to you. You are my foundation. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my strength. You are my defense. Without you, I can do nothing. You are the bottom of every dream I have ever dreamed in my life, and I will take no promotion you don't want me to have, and I will accept no friend you don't want me to have. You're my rock. Commitments don't have nothing to do with your feelings. You do it because you're supposed to. And stop expecting to be rewarded for what you're supposed to do anyway. Stop bragging about how you brought your money home. You were supposed to. Stop bragging about how you took care of me. You're supposed to take care of me. It's a commitment. This ain't a date. This is a commitment.
We have passed the stage of dating. We made a commitment. That's why they said, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. The preacher knew that at least one of us was going to be crazy. Somebody has got to arrest this crazy generation that wants to take everything and give black nothing.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at instruction number 35, the sign of Jonah is given by Jesus. And we see that Jesus used the Old Testament to identify that he was the one that would rise up after 3 days. So he is the sign that we are supposed to be looking at. Now, let's go to Exodus. We're going to the Old Testament, our complement, and see how we can connect this dot. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Turn your Bible sources with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. And this is the sign that Moses gave to Egypt and the Israelites, the plagues that succeeded one by one before Pharaoh would let the people go. And this is what Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 says. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, and that he would be the sign, and that he would use the plagues to emphasize the sign. God sent Jesus. God became flesh to dwell among us. And he sent Jesus to the world. And all of Jesus' teachings are what we are supposed to respond to. That's the sign of salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick review of what we just went through tonight because of the significance of the instructions. We started out with who is great among us for Jesus. And we know that the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus says, I am meek and I am humble. I'm lowly of spirit. Learn of me. And he is the one that we should follow to be great. That means we should be meek among our peers to follow Jesus. The next instruction, number 30, says, seek this power. And we know that Jesus taught us that the power is through the Holy Ghost, but we should seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. That is God the Father, God the Son. And we know that Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 23, that if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you. And he and I will come and make our abode in you. That is telling us of the indwelling. That is the power that we must have. I mentioned so often that there are Christians that are just born again and not have the indwelling. You must have all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to be successful in this walk of life before eternity. The 31st instruction says what we must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told us again in John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, he says that this is eternal life. This is life eternal. He said that all power has been given to him in heaven and in earth by the Father over all flesh. And this is eternal life, to know God as your only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has sent, and to know and to receive the Holy Ghost. We must have that power, all three, to have the eternal life that we need to be successful this side of eternity. 32 is the next instruction. Jesus teaches us to pray. And we know that there are those that say that the prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples is no longer effective. And I won't go into the details of why, but there is a group of Christians. Remember the Pharisees and Sadducees? The Pharisees believed one thing and the Sadducees believed another, yet they were both Jews. So these are still Christians, but they don't think that the Lord's Prayer, as what Jesus taught his disciples, is that significant anymore. In fact, what they say is that the prayer in John chapter 17 is what is the Lord's Prayer. Be that it may, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, I consider the perfect prayer. That is the Alpha and the Omega of communicating with God. You can find all of your needs in that prayer. In fact, when we go to the next instruction, 33, it says, ask, seek, and knock. We can find all of that incorporated in the Our Father, if you will, that is identified in more expansively in the Gospel of Matthew, and not the one that we read in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Now, instruction number 34 says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. We know the truth of this matter, that God tells us that we cannot serve two masters. Jesus tells us we cannot serve two masters. We'll either love the one and hate the other, or we'll honor one and despise the other. That we cannot serve both God and mammon. So dividing the kingdom against itself is going to cause us to lose. And that is the significance of that instruction. And instruction number 35 that we just read, that the sign of Jonah is given by Jesus. Well, Jesus is that sign that Moses spoke of in the wilderness when the serpents were biting all the children of Israel and killing them. And Moses asked God to relent, and God did. And he said, make a serpent of gold on a cross and hold it up, and everyone that looks at it shall be healed. Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, and everyone that comes to Jesus shall be, and believes on Jesus, shall have eternal life. That is the crux of the lessons that we went through today. Now, with a few minutes remaining, I just want to share with you the drill that we started last week and give you some more information on that drill. There were 9 enemies of mankind that I identified, and the reason that I took or brought this drill into to bring it and present it to you, we know that Jesus says that the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but he has come to give us life. And if he gives us life, we'll have life more abundantly. Now, that thief is more than just the devil. That thief are all of the enemies of mankind. And I identified those enemies as sin, the knowledge of good and evil, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, the curses of the Garden of Eden, the flesh, the devil. And let me mention that the devil is number 6. Number 7 is ungodly men. Number 8 is death. And number 9 is hell. And I also told you that sin has been moved out the way because of Jesus' death on the cross. He gave us reprieve from sin. So what has taken over from sin? The knowledge of good and evil. And we talked about it today.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodnight for sure, to all of my listeners out there, please remember what Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." God bless and good night.